This week we continue with our reading from the Gospel of John, from his sixth chapter. And as I mentioned last week, this chapter is devoted to John's theology of the Eucharist. And so Father Brian and I had decided that over these 4 weeks we would preach our homilies each week on a different aspect of the Mass to help us come to a better understanding and appreciation for what we do in Holy Mass. Last week I focused on the image of the Mass as the family meal, that sacred gathering of the family around the table to share a meal in fellowship, to bring about communion. That's a very important image of the Mass. Today I'd like to look at yet another image, and that is the Mass as sacrifice. So often we hear that phrase, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Maybe we're asking, what does that mean? What sacrifice exactly? You know, if you look at the Old Testament, it's filled with the notion of sacrifice. All throughout there you find, right from the beginning, Cain and Abel. What do? They offer the sacrifice from their flocks and their fields. Noah, when he comes out of the ark, what is the first thing he does in thanksgiving? He offers a sacrifice to God. Abraham offers sacrifice and almost sacrifices his son, Isaac. Moses leads the people out into the wilderness and they offer sacrifice there. And when they receive this manna talked about in the gospel today, they collect it and put it in that sacred ark of the covenant that represents the very presence of God among them. And what do? They put it in a special tent called the tabernacle, and they set up an altar before it, and they offer sacrifice to God present in the ark of the covenant. When they come into the promised land, they take that tent from the wilderness and they make it a permanent building in the temple. And what's in the temple? Well, they put the Ark of the Covenant, of course, at the far end in the Holy of Holies. And then they put up an altar of sacrifice in front of it that a sacrifice could be offered to God present in the Ark of the Covenant. You know, a lot of times people will go through one of those through the Bible in a year plans. I want to read the whole Bible, so I start in January and I do a little bit each day. And most of the times people end up stopping about, the end of February, beginning of March. And the reason is because about that time you get to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is basically totally devoted to the minutiae of how to offer sacrifice. It's basically 600 ways to kill a cow. That's the book of Leviticus. And it doesn't sound very exciting to us because we're a little distant from that. But it goes to show us how important sacrifice was for God's people in the Old Covenant. You better know how to do it, and you better do it right. But then we come to the new covenant with Jesus. Now, here's an important thing to remember whenever we talk about the Old Testament. God is not a God that just ruptures things and says, let's throw out everything that's come before, and now I'm going to do something completely different. That would have made the whole Old Covenant pointless. Rather, God gave his chosen people the Old Covenant precisely to form them to receive the new and everlasting covenant. So the notion of sacrifice is definitely not thrown out with the new covenant. Rather, the full meaning of what it's about is revealed. It's then necessary that we understand this context of sacrifice if we're going to understand the Mass. Because you see, what did you offer sacrifice for in the Old Testament? Well, if you ruptured your relationship with God, you sinned. How were you going to be restored to God? Well, you went to the temple and you offered a sacrifice to God to make reparation. Rather than you being killed for your sins, a lamb was killed instead in reparation to God. Interesting thing about that, though. You had to keep offering sacrifice over and over and over again for two reasons. Number one, because you sin over and over again and you constantly need to make reparation. But number two, because the sacrifice itself was imperfect. After all, it's just a lamb. How could that ultimately mend our relationship with God in any permanent way? But what if we really did want to mend our relationship with God permanently? What if we didn't want to have to keep offering imperfect sacrifices over and over and over again? Well, we'd need a pretty special sacrifice. We'd need a lamb that was perfect, one that could take away not just my sin, this one time, or even the sins of my whole life. But what if we wanted a sacrifice that could take away the sins of the whole world and make a perfect reparation for all the sins ever committed? Where would we find such a sacrifice? John the Baptist gives us the key here. When he sees Jesus coming, John the Baptist looks at him and says to his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, I don't know what image comes to your mind when we hear this phrase, Lamb of God, which we repeat so often in the Mass. I think we tend to look at it as an image of a cute, cuddly little lamb that's kind of fluffy white, and it's gentle and meek. And so we might tend to think that when Jesus is called the Lamb of God, that means that he's humble and he's meek and gentle. That's not how John would have seen it at all, and that's not how an Israelite steeped in thousands of years of sacrificial history would have seen that. When John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," that's sacrificial language. Behold the Lamb of sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of sacrifice, one that is capable of taking away the sins of the world. That's our Lamb of God. It is a perfect sacrifice, so it doesn't have to be sacrificed over and over again, but we still need to sacrifice over and over again because we keep sinning over and over again. So what can we do? This is the key context then for the Mass. In the Mass, because the sacrifice of Jesus is timeless, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, that one sacrifice of Jesus offered once on Calvary in history is made present once again on our altar. That's incredible. That is a sacred mystery. God is outside of time, so it's as if that moment of Calvary 2,000 years ago is brought forward and made present right here at our Mass. That is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the same sacrifice of Jesus offered on Calvary, re-presented here on our altar. Why does he do that? Because we need it. We need to offer sacrifice. And Jesus is our perfect Lamb who makes himself present here that we might offer that sacrifice to God in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. In this context of sacrifice, then, we can make a little bit more sense of what goes on at the Mass. If we just look around and we see how our church is structured. You know, if you walk into a Protestant church, I'm always struck, it seems a little off-putting, that you walk in and right there in the middle of what we would consider the sanctuary, rather than what we notice, you see a big, huge pulpit. That's the center of worship for them. They're there to hear the pastor preach the sermon. Thank God that that is not the case in the Catholic Church. You don't have to think that your entire participation in Mass depends on my sermon. Thank goodness. We have something much different. When you come into the center of a Catholic church, what do you see? Well, you notice that all the people gather out here. And there's this kind of set apart area here, which we call the sanctuary. And at the very head of our sanctuary, we have this tabernacle, which we know contains the very presence of God in the Eucharist. Where did we get this idea? Well, go back to the Old Testament, to the temple. What did the temple look like? Well, in the temple you had an outer court where the assembly would gather. Then the priest would go forward into a separate court set apart in which only the priest and the sacred ministers went into. And it, in turn, had its own separate part set especially aside called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the presence of God. And what would you find before the Ark of the Covenant? The altar of sacrifice, where the sacred offerings were made to God. Make sense? We look at our church. We didn't just come up with this. It's designed like the temple. And in order to understand that, we have to know about sacrifice. This whole building is built for the offering of sacrifice. You know, at the time of the Second Vatican Council, it was decided that permission would be given that if we wanted to, sometimes we could celebrate Mass with the priest facing the people. Kind of that idea of, if Mass is that family dinner like I talked about last week, well, shouldn't the priest face the people so they could see? And well, that was the idea. And it was a perfectly fine idea. But there's a danger that has come from that, and that is that we can grow to think that then that the Mass is somehow about the priest does something up here for the rest of you all to watch and to see. That's not what goes on at Mass. The priest, rather, on behalf of all the people, just like the Old Testament priests, enters into the Holy of Holies, and there on the altar of sacrifice, offers to God a sacrifice on behalf of all the people. If you pay attention during the Eucharistic prayer especially, you'll hear this notion of sacrifice and offering over and over again. Listen closely to who the priest is talking to. It's interesting, very seldom will you hear the priest address the people during the Eucharistic prayer, because the priest at that moment is standing in the person of Christ and he's speaking to God the Father. And the essence of the conversation is, God, I am your Son and I give myself to you on behalf of all these people that they might be reconciled through my sacrifice. It's Jesus speaking to the Father. That's the priest who stands there in the person of Christ to offer that sacrifice. This was much more clear when the priest faced the same direction as all the people, and all of us together faced toward God. People sometimes characterize it as, well, the priest had his back to the people. That was never the case. Rather, the priest stood at the head of the assembly and led them in a procession, as it were, towards God as he offered the sacrifice for them. It's more like a general who would stand at the head of the army and lead the army in battle. No one would ever say that the general turned his back on his troops to lead the charge. Rather, it is his proper place. That's the role of the ordained priest at Mass, to enter the Holy of Holies like the Old Testament priests, and there, in union with all the people, to offer the sacrifice to God. So what's then the role of the rest of the people at Mass? Is it merely to sit and observe? Hardly, hardly. If you remember back to our teachings on baptism, we're all told that in baptism, we become priest, prophet, and king. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I heard that, I could understand prophet and king a little bit, but I never really understood how it was that all of us are priests. Well, what is the job of a priest? Go back to the Old Testament. What did the priest do in the temple? They offered sacrifice. As baptized individuals in the universal priesthood of our baptism, all of us are called to offer sacrifice. That is the essence of being a priest. So what sacrifice are you called to offer at Mass? Sacrifice of your lives. Are you sad? Is there difficulty, struggle in your life? Is there joy? Is there worry, anxiety? That's what you're called to offer. That's the exercise of your priesthood. You bring all that to the altar, and as the priest stands up there and offers the sacrifice to Jesus, you join your offering with his, with the offering of Jesus, and all of us together in unison offer all that we are to God. There's that special moment in the Eucharistic prayer right at the end where the priest, having consecrated the bread and the wine, now become the body and blood of Jesus, holds the paten and the chalice, and he raises them high, says, through him, with him, in him. Notice he's talking to the Father. What's he doing? Is he showing the Eucharist to us? No, he's already done that when he elevated the host and the chalice. Rather, the priest at that moment takes the Eucharist in his hands, and he holds them up for God the Father to see them. He's holding Jesus on the paten, his blood in the chalice. He holds them up for the Father to see and says, in light of this sacrifice, Lord, have mercy on us and on the whole world. That's the essence of what happens at Mass. That is why we're here. Ultimately, it doesn't matter if the preaching is good, if the music is good, if you feel good at Mass. if you know why we're here, then none of that ultimately will matter. It's nice if we've got great music and great preaching. But ultimately, we are here because we feel the need to offer sacrifice to God. We are here to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass.